And welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature. To have a fabulous director, Ramsey Abad, whose film First Person Survivor. It's available on Tubi and probably a bunch of other places, but he'll tell you about that later.
Go ahead. First Person Savior.
Savior. Oh, God, I said First Person Shooter or something. Oh, well, First Person Savior.
It's okay. This is how people will remember it, so it's perfect.
Chad Meisenheimer is in it, but we don't really like him, so we're not going to talk about it much.
Oh.
Take that, Chad. Welcome. So I was watching this film, and I thought I really want to start your influences on filmmaking, because I really think it's shown in your film is what I'm thinking, but I want you to tell me it. So what are your influences to make a film?
I mean, I like so much stuff. I mean, really, like, I mean, and every project is different. So, I mean, really, the story and the thing is its own thing and it's kind of singular, but like, you know, I'm influenced by everything, but, you know, obviously I've watched and listened to and read so much stuff in my lifetime. Old enough to like be able to say that's given me a lot of time to absorb a lot of pop culture and also just art and stuff over the years. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of kind of like, there are a lot of filmmakers and artists that I really vibe with, but that's just kind of like, they're just like my brothers and sisters, pretty much, you know, like I they're just like similar kindred spirits. So I really like Stanley Kubrick and Roman Polanski and David Lynch and Jean-Luc Godard. And I mean, all these very different filmmakers from each other. And I share my birthday with Pasolini. I don't necessarily like all of his films, but, you know, we have sort of a similar kind of personality. You know, I grew up with a lot. I like a lot of punk rock. You can see I'm wearing a Sex Pistols T-shirt.
I did notice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of different things. I mean, with this film, I was actually kind of influenced. It's not so much an influence, but like inspired by certain things. You know, like actually Napoleon Dynamite was like a big inspiration for this film, at least in so much of the look and kind of staging of it. A little bit Wes Anderson too, maybe. Maybe subconsciously, I'm not really sure. I mean, I don't really look at things and like, I don't mimic stuff or do anything like that, or like, you know, design shots after other shots or nothing like that ever. But it's just not my thing. But you know, it's all these influences, I guess, are pretty much synthesized. I mean, I'm definitely into existentialist stuff too. Like Kafka is one of my favorite people in the whole world. And yeah, and I have a kind of a dark sense of humor. I really love John Lydon. That's another hero of mine, Johnny Rotten, John Lydon. I understand people like these kind of guys better than they, you know, like I'm sort of a contrarian and I love cognitive dissonance and I'm sarcastic and I love satire. It's fun to like let people figure it out and just, you know, fuck them in a nice way. The word fuck comes from love. You know, a lot of people use the word fuck like it's really mean. But like, if you fuck your wife, then don't you love her? Or are you like, I mean, I don't know. It's just a word, right? So like, anyway, that's my personality is a little, it's like a knife, you know, but like you want that knife in your body. I'm here to provide it.
I like it. I was going to go with Darren Aronofsky because I really felt I was watching
film.
Because I felt very bonded with you. Not just on this film. I haven't seen your other films.
I love his work. I've actually had the privilege of meeting him several times, and believe it or not, it's crazy. But years ago, he read a script. There's stuff there, but I'll get into it. But like, definitely kindred spirit. I mean, Pi is one of my favorite films. I really like Requiem for a Dream. Mother is probably my favorite of his movies. But yeah, I definitely like Aronofsky. Yeah.
Okay, now that was just so I want people to get what we're getting at while watching this film, because it's a little different, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of a test of your, like, these days people are very, you know, everything's so fast-paced, and we live in, like, a TikTok kind of, you know, Instagram stories world, so it's kind of a test of your patience, you know, for some people, but I hope it's rewarding. It's sort of a psychedelic experience, too.
Yes,
you don't even have to be on drugs. But no. I will put you in a schizophrenic reality.
So, okay, the crazy drone shot off the beginning, it doesn't really set me up for the movie. It's a beautiful shot. I loved it. But you don't set me up for what you're giving me later. So is it like a little trick you were starting with?
I mean, that's again, like it's open to your interpretation. I mean, my idea was that I want to drop you into this guy's world and kind of show you, like, it's sort of like, there's also, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Like, I was a kid, I saw the Eames film, Charles Eames or Ray Eames, I forget. Anyway, there's the Power of Ten. There's a film where, like, it just keeps going and just until you're like, whoa, you're like in space, and it's for perspective. To understand, like, you don't know who your next door neighbor is. You don't really know the people next door in general, but like you're, like a mass shooter could be living right next door to you and you probably don't even know,
True.
and so it's kind of like showing how it's sort of like this is, it's a God's eye perspective to, for lack of a better way to put it, so that it's just kind of like, here we are, let's go down and see what this guy's life is all about. And then at the end, it just goes right back out. And plus, the film is
Yes.
kind of in a loop. I don't want to explain much about it, but like, it's open to your interpretation, as to when this is happening, if it's happening, is it all in his head? Is he just meditating? Did this happen over a year period? Is it a week? That's all up to you. You're smart.
I like it. I like that answer. That's a lot. Now, the shopping cart. You have a scene with the shopping cart, and you make your. I'm gonna say John because that's the actor's name, so I don't think I'm ruining anything. You make him walk back and forth, back and forth. Now, I have two questions. What's the shop? Did you place the shopping cart, or did you find it? And did you just loop your shot over and over and over again?
I don't know. All I can say is like, yeah, that's what I wanted.
Okay, that's fine. I accept that as an answer.
But yeah, the shopping cart is great. And yeah, it just kind of, I mean, there's all these little itty bitty things, like it's also, it's actually, we shot it, some of the parts around Christmas. So you can't really see it, but like, there's like Christmas decorations and houses and there's like little things, but, just setting up a world. So just make it, so that it doesn't feel too much like it's here in California. It could be anywhere.
Oh, I thought it could be in Detroit. Like, I really felt it was more of a Detroit setting just by the way it felt. Even though I know it was shot in California, just because the one of the actors you have in it. If he wasn't there, I would have no idea. And that's just
No,
because
that's
I know
perfect.
the
That's so
person, so
great.
I know. So I'll give you that. I also want to look at the bus when you go on the bus seats.
Oh yeah.
Are those all guerrilla shooting? I mean, I'm sure you didn't have a permit to be on a bus.
Yeah, that's all guerrilla. I mean, the film was is this film was entirely guerrilla. I mean, it's
That's what I
it more so
thought.
than anything. Yeah, more so than anything I've done. I mean, definitely I had a lot of freedom because I scouted, I was able to shoot an area. I mean, it took some timing and planning to make it feel so barren, also. I mean, you really get to I mean, I was very lucky in a way to be able to pull this off because I didn't want it to have that vibe, where it's like, I definitely, other films that may be kind of in the back of my head, like Taxi Driver and Eraserhead for that matter, just stuff where there's less people, less central characters also. So you can just kind of focus on the main guy,
So let's, before we go on, I do want to do the steep driveway location. Did you find
Oh
that
yeah.
just on a fluke, or you knew where that was? Man, that driveway looks like it goes up to the heavens.
So that's my workplace. That's where I work. I mean, it just so happened that I mean, so there's even some might even be like, oh, well, that's a direct parallel. It's like, again, I'm just, it's really in service of the story. It just so happens that the place I work at is that parking lot and stuff is like there. So it was just like such a cool spot and just so perfect to have what I, what I was writing to unfold. So yeah, that was just, I mean, I wouldn't say it's luck, but yeah, that just so happens to be there, and just the right time of day and looking at the shadows and, so that each thing, it definitely, there's another influence, although not directly, more like in the idea of it. Was a Groundhog Day, which actually I still to this day haven't seen the whole movie. I've probably seen like three quarters of the film, and like I just keep seeing, it's like one of those things that's always on TV too. So but it definitely was in the back of my head, you know, to like make it like it's every day is the same. And so you're kind of repeating the same setups you know, creating that monotony in his life.
Well, just because a certain person I have to comment on, I want to get to there. How did we cast John? Did you know John? Did you put a casting call out for John?
Yeah, so I did A, I didn't know you knew John.
I don't know John. I know Chad.
Oh, okay. So you just know Chad. Oh, okay. So interesting. So okay, yeah. So John, I actually met John, man, quite a while ago, probably almost like 15 years ago or something. Maybe even more. Shit. Like, I guess I've known him for like 17 years or something. Anyway, I we'd met like at like a screening. And I knew him from various people, and what's funny is I knew him from my first exposure to John was his it was in the opening scene of Poltergeist, because he's I don't know if you've ever seen I have like a lot of like an affiliation with Troma, as I've worked with Lloyd Kaufman and he's been in my movies and I used to do some acquisitions for them, but anyway, so like John was in Poltergeist, which is this crazy, you know, Poltergeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, which was a musical with you know, like kind of a anti-fast food satire movie with, you know, zombie chickens. But in the beginning of the movie, he's like taking a shit, basically. Like or something, or no, he's jacking off. That's what he was doing. He's jacking off. But like anyway, he meets a horrible end, and the thing goes up his thing. And it's such his performance is so amazing. And that was really my first exposure to John, so to speak, no pun intended. I then, you know, I'd see him. He was in lots of, you know, friends' films and films from distributors and people that I knew. And I like almost pretty much always playing silly stuff and like really crazy roles, you know, and generally like either like a tiny role or a supporting character, but never a lead. And so man, it was just like so perfect. You know, I again in the back of my head, I'd seen oh God, is it Pruitt Taylor Vince? I think from the movie Heavy from years ago, which is I really like that movie. And I think it was just a look and a feel of that John has, and I knew him personally, and so I knew that like even though he's mostly done just really silly comedic roles, you know, in a lot of horror movies too, I was just like this guy has the chops, you know, and I knew he was a real actor, like that he was actually an actor, so you know that's all I needed to know. I don't really audition people or anything like that. I'm like okay. Let's go. You know, I also work with non-actors a lot.
So is that why you have Chad Meisenheimer in your film as a non-actor?
So that's sort of, I mean, actually, it's weird. It's sort of similar kind of thing where it's like it's just somebody that I've always wanted to put in a movie. And Chad is always would always almost like he was like, maybe he's like daring me or like tasking me to do it, you know, like it's just I'm one of those guys that like when actors, I mean, this is if anybody watches this podcast that maybe they'll be like, oh, what? But yeah, I'm really one of those guys who like if actor like wants to be in my film, yeah, okay, let's do it. You know,
That's
it
great.
becomes my I if there's the right role, if the role comes to be, yeah, you'll get the call. And then it's up to you if you want to actually do it. But yeah, I thought Chad was I've always liked Chad. I think he has a great sensibility. I'd seen him in just little things and I mainly admired the fact that he was, you know, I'm like doing the comic stuff. He doesn't do it so much anymore, but like I, you know, I still consider him sort of a comedian or something. I don't know what I consider Chad, definitely some sort of artist, comic artist. But yeah, it was fun. It was really cool. And they had such a good there's such a good chemistry between the two of them. And like they're just goofy and funny and it kind of helps you know, give some comic relief to the film.
Okay. You have Chad in a certain part of the film. He has different cups all the time, and he has different shirts all the time. Was that his idea or your idea?
No, I mean, it's my idea in the, you know, these are different days. So time's going by, like, you know, kind of the same sentiment, same feeling, but it's the same, you know, it's same old, but you know, it can't be the exact same thing. Except with John, he sort of almost wears like a uniform,
Yes.
you know, But yeah. So those are all those are all my ideas.
I felt while I was sitting in the film and watching this part, I wanted to think, I felt that this is when my dream was starting. As I watch scenes unfold and we revisit scenes, I'm like, okay. And that's where the Aronofsky started to come in for me. And I was like, I'm definitely on a surreal plane of some kind now. I gotta stop trying to. Do you want the viewer to stop reading into your film and just sort of. This is when I started taking it in after the first scene of that. And I started getting what you were doing. I'm like, okay, is that what you want the viewer to do? Just sort of just mellow out at this point and just take it in. Stop trying to look
Yeah,
for something.
absolutely. I mean, I definitely want you to, I want the viewer to just, hey, with all of my films, really, like, it sounds weird, like a weird thing to say, but like, I'm ready for you to press stop and stop watching it anytime. That's fine.
Oh
So
no, never
my
stop.
mission is to pack it in, to pack it in as much as possible and give you that experience so that it, so I want you to watch the whole fucking
Okay,
movie.
good. Good.
But if you can't, I want to leave an impression so that you either love me or hate me, like the film, don't like it, whatever. You're never going to be completely middle of the road about it. And if you are, somehow
Oh.
that even that is going to even that will somehow be stuck in your craw or whatever. Like I it's very important that I put people through an experience. And for me, that's the most fun. Like I really do when I make a movie, I do it kind of for myself, like in that like I enjoy it. Like I have to be able to watch this movie 100 times, if possible. Not that I want to watch it 100 times, but like yeah. So like I it's like a theme park. Like for me, movies, my favorite kind of films are like you're talking about Aronofsky, and we talked about some of these other filmmakers. Like Kubrick's a great example. Even Christopher Nolan. I mean, it probably won't surprise you if I tell you that I don't like all of his movies, honestly. I really like some of them, but my favorite Christopher Nolan movie, like hands down, is Tenet. Like, fuck
I
all
knew
the other
it.
shit.
I could
Tenet.
have guessed that one because it's exactly like yours.
Yeah. So that's my vibe.
It
But
makes
yeah,
perfect sense to me. It totally makes sense. Absolutely.
thank you. But that being said, there that some and see the fun of this is that somebody hears this and they're like, well, fuck, I'm never gonna watch your shit. Hey, you can go fucking watch Giggly or Glitter or like fucking The Expendables Part 10, whatever you fucking want to watch. Just fuck off and don't watch my film. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate you saying, but the people gotta understand, people do watch your movies because they're on my show. So I do independent movies because I like them. I like people that
Yeah, no,
challenge
it's
me.
cool.
I like you
I'm
guys
no, I'm
doing
not.
different things. So guys,
Yeah,
please watch his
none of
film.
that was mean spirited. I'm happy
Okay,
to.
good.
When I say, hey, go get the, I talk like anybody talks. I might not be from the East Coast, but whatever.
It's all good. I just want people to know that I have watched the whole film. I did watch it all. Okay, the location of John's room is
He's a
very
brave man,
important.
by the way, people.
John's room, where is it, or where, whose room is it, really?
We're in that room right now.
Oh, so it's your room.
It's one of my rooms. Yeah, it's
It
a
doesn't
room.
look
It's
anything
the main
like what I
room that I'm
watched
in.
in the film. You must have sun
Yeah.
dressed it.
I mean, there's the TV. There you go. I mean,
Oh, now I see it. Yes, now I can see it.
it's changed a little bit, but it's the same. The
Oh,
TV's in the same spot, that's for sure.
you have it so dark though in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. I felt I
Yeah,
was getting
because it was
sucked
lit.
into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we were using lighting. It wasn't just the lights that are in the room. You know what I mean? We sculpted the way that the light looks in the room for sure. And I use crazy filters and stuff. But yeah.
When a certain person comes to visit, I'm really getting a poltergeist vibe at that point.
I love that movie. Yeah.
I felt the colors were like that. I felt like I don't want to ruin anything. I felt more was going to happen than did in that room, if that makes sense. But a lot of stuff does happen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
Yeah.
be as vague as I can. Can I kind of
Yeah,
ruin
no, it's
something if I
cool.
say something?
Yeah, I don't I mean the idea is always to be playing sort of like to keep you on your I mean so if you're watching this movie and you actually are engaged, I want you to continue to be engaged. And that being said, I don't want it to always be exactly what you expect it to be because the movie is going somewhere specific. So, yeah. But yeah, Yeah, that was really fun, and I definitely did not think of that, but I mean, I love Poltergeist. I haven't watched it in so long, but that's definitely one of my favorite, like, definitely my one of my favorite horror films, honestly. I love that movie, especially like the first half of the movie. And once everything starts happening and stuff, it's just amazing, and the tree stuff and the that's just so cool.
Okay, the yes monkey sticker.
Yeah, that was just random. I saw that was there, and it was just so perfect because I was like, you know, that it's kind of being mean, but it's kind of like he's that monkey. He's just like, you know, and then it shows him standing there next shot. So you realize, like, yeah, just subservient. I don't know. It was also something that vibes with the kind of punk kind of aesthetic to the film. So it's just like, yeah, if I see some, sometimes if I see something just like, you know, at the location or where we're shooting, you know, like, oh, I should put that in the film. Yeah, I don't even know who that artist is that made that.
The Abe Box Sludge. There's an Abe. I put an Abe Box Lunch was in the drink. It's in the thing. Where's it from? There is something in the scene with a box lunch, it looks like. Maybe it's a lunch
Oh
box.
yeah, I know he's eating
It's hard for
burgers.
me
Yeah,
to
a bunch.
tell.
Yeah, it's a bunch of burgers. He's chowing down on some hamburgers. Those are some great hamburgers. Those are In-N-Out burgers.
Okay, so you made up the wrapping then.
I put it all together. But yeah, that's yeah. I mean, but it looks like any, you know, like again, the idea is for things to be relatable. So like if you're in Missouri, or you're in New York, or you're in Oregon, or where the hell you are, wherever the hell you are, you can kind of imagine all these things and, like, you know, stuff that's relatable, you know. And
So I
plus,
found.
not too branded here and there, you know.
I found the film very surreal at times with the very little dialogue you added to it, which is
Yeah.
fine. But then near the end, you change a certain character, what they do, and their interaction threw me off completely. Was that the plan?
Yeah, because that's, and then, you know, and it's open to interpretation if that stuff is really happening or if that's in his head, because because also his character is going through a transformation, you know, because you notice
Yes.
that he's sort of becoming almost more confident too, and like kind of like getting a spine, you know. But yeah, which is scary, you know. I mean, I don't want, you know, I don't want to give away what the whole point of that is saying, but like, you know, there's something, and he was seeking that, and that, like, the idea is that that's where is that where all the power lies? The power is in that, you know, and it's an analysis of that because it's the idea that, like, this is what, unfortunately, this is how it works, you know, like in the psychology of a person who could do something horrible, you know, but yeah, so the whole vibe shifts, you know, because, and it's silly because, I mean, it will tell, like, okay, that's obviously not happening. Like the person that they're talking to, what, suddenly that person wants to talk to them? That's pretty weird. And you know, just some of these other things. But yeah, it's fun to do that. And I also felt like it was good because, like, for the audience, they're pro you know, it's hard for people to like watch a movie where there isn't that much talking, and it's a set, you're like, oh my God, is this the same thing over and over again? Like, you know, obviously it's subtly changing, but yeah, by that time yeah, he's talking more, and you know, it helped a lot. James Duvall, for sure, his character was part of that too, is that I wrote that character so that obviously I wanted to get as much as possible out of that role, so that was also, you know, kind of works in that direction. And if that makes sense.
It does. How many times did you have to shoot scenes? So, I mean, I know you're Groundhog Day shooting. That's fine. We can go whichever way you want. Did you revisit these on different days, or was it always shot on one day? So, just for continuity issues.
As much as possible shot on, we did have some pickups and stuff, but as much as possible, everything was shot in the same days. So that the stuff was, you know, so that I mean, really, I just, this film, partly in the way that it's written, is designed so that it was done with less money and more ease and stuff. So that even, I mean, not to give it away, but even like when it's like, okay, well, we're, instead of like cutting each time, just go back. That's going to be when you're going back. And then, okay, let's do it again. You go back this way, and this time you're going to do it like this. And the next thing you know, I'm like, oh shit, I've got like 20% of the movie done.
How
So it,
interesting.
yeah, so that's definitely like more of a pr for I think that that's a fun thing to talk about because this movie's so surreal. You wouldn't think that I actually had some very pragmatic stuff happening in it, but like the way that this movie is constructed on a pragmatic level is to make it just as e like this is this is an example of a movie that like, hey, you're an indie filmmaker, you want to know how to make a movie on a micro budget level and do it and shoot it in like 5 days. Because that's basically what it took for us to
Wow,
shoot this movie.
that's
And
really
that's
quick.
how you do it. You got to design it that way though. You know, so that it's an economy like there's economy to with like money. There's definitely an economy with time because you only have so much. So anyway, so that's part of that.
Perfect. Can I have your favorite film, please?
It's probably, I mean, honestly, probably It's a Wonderful Life.
Wow,
I really
I
love
am
that movie.
shocked by that
Yeah.
answer. You're
I seriously. Well, that movie has everything in it. Like just like how my movie's different genres. Like all my films are like kind of multi-genre. Dude, that movie's a horror film. That movie's a thriller. It's
You're
a
correct.
slapstick comedy. It's science fiction. It starts in fucking space. You got angels talking. It has experimental techniques where they do freeze frames and they talk. They did stuff that Tarantino does fucking way later in Pulp Fiction and shit. They did that stuff then with freeze frames and then talking. Hip casting where they cast the little rascals and stuff. I mean, that movie is fucking brilliant. The fact that it was basically a failure and then later grew into a cult classic, every single thing about that movie is beyond perfect. It's just the best.
Your favorite place to visit in California?
I don't know. I mean, I love LA. I love Los Angeles.
That
So
counts.
anywhere in LA. Yeah, I mean, it's my favorite. It's really my favorite place in the whole world. Because it's so rich in complexity. If the whole if and I think a lot of people outside of LA don't know this or don't understand this, and there's a lot of hate thrown at California, of course, politics, whatever aside, doesn't matter to me because LA is a microcosm of the whole fucking planet. If the whole planet disappeared and like it just LA remained, it would be like the entire Earth and just with a smaller population. The problems that are here, the hypocrisy, the good and the bad, the incredible disparate differences between the two. How wonderful it feels though here, the weather, the light, even how that's changing now with climate change. I love the whole ride of being here. It's just, yeah, I love LA. I mean, I've been a lot of places in this world, but I really like Los Angeles. But yeah,
I
and the people
have
are
to
really cool. They're nice. So,
ask, because you're wearing a Sex Pistols shirt, makes me happy. Your favorite
oh yeah.
punk band?
I mean, it's the Sex Pistols. I it's it, and I mean, I like Exploited also. I love The Clash. I like a lot of older stuff like Bad Brains. And I like some new stuff here and there. There's a guy named Meryl Streak that I found out about who's Irish that opened for PIL. That's
Oh.
brilliant. But definitely Sex Pistols. I'm a huge John Lydon fan. So PIL, especially early PIL, is huge for me. His lyrics and stuff with the Sex Pistols. That's why I love them. I mean, the songs mean stuff. And I love that he can like you might not get him, and he'll just be like, "Fuck you! I'll say the opposite of what you want me to say and make you hate me, so that I can make you maybe do the right thing." He's really brilliant at playing the villain, you know. And I mean, like I said, those songs like "Anarchy in the UK" or "Submission" or they're just those lyrics are coming out of a guy who was like basically a teenager. Like when he wrote those lyrics, it's like it's fucking amazing, you know. Most people don't know that stuff. Like I didn't even know that PIL. The band Public Image Limited, he got the name from this. I already forgot the woman's name, but it was some like existentialist philosopher lady that basically wrote this book about the public image being limited and stuff. He's a very brilliant guy. You never know what he's actually up to. And that's cool. So yeah,
Before I let
I just like a lot of punk. I respect the Ramones, but to me, the Ramones are just a party band.
They're correct. I will 100% agree with you. Before I let you
Yeah.
go, tell everybody to find the rest of your films. Are they all available on Tubi?
So actually, this is really cool for me personally. Just I'm happy because at least there's places, not in the most easy to find places, but a bunch of my movies are on platforms right now. I do have the most stuff on Tubi, probably, or at least that's the most easily accessible and known streaming platform. I got First Person Savior is on Tubi, The Devil's Muse is on Tubi, In a Spiral State is on Tubi. And a film of mine called Telephone World is on Tubi. However, Bloodstream, and which is a new streaming platform that I think is they're still fixing it up, and it's live. It's got a lot of great stuff on it, and it's growing. But it's called Bloodstream TV, and that's like the first place in my life that they dedicated a thing with like the films of Ramsay Bedd. So like I have a bunch more stuff on there, including a new film, my new movie, this one, of course, First Person Savior. Another film called I Am an Alien, which has Mark Borchardt from American Movie and Coven in it, and Dennis Woodruff, who passed away, God rest his soul, is like a legend here in Hollywood. That's also on there, and so is a film of mine called Clay Fields, which is like one of my. I really am proud of this movie. It's a shot on video film that really the aesthetic of it and the feel and the whole story is really. It's a found videotape, kind of like a feature length. Tape from the ring. Like if you imagine the tape, like you found the tape from the ring, but it's a little over an hour long. That's what this is.
Oh,
And
great.
that's also there. I have some stuff at Troma Now, Fossum. Yeah, so just look up my stuff. You can type my name in and good luck.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate you. Much love.